For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, rolling into hour number two. Chris and Jeff, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Lots to cover in today's 5 at 5. The big weekend in college football. Biggest for Georgia, who whooped up on South Carolina, and also week one in the NFL, where the Dolphins are 1-0.
Yes, sir.
And file this away for 2019. They have now covered 5 straight week ones. That is the longest active streak in the league.
How did Tannehill play, Chris?
They won.
They won?
Yeah, they won. It was one of those games, too. Both teams returned a kick for a touchdown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and plus the Dolphins knocked Mariota out of the game, so they did end up getting to face Blaine Gabbert for
a good
chunk of it.
How long was that weather delay?
I think the game lasted, told it was like a 7-hour game or something.
Yeah, because, I mean,
they had two of them. There were two lightning delays. They came back. They had one, then they came back, and there was another one.
Oh, my gosh. Because, I mean, it was getting over – when like the 4:15, 4:30 games were going into the third, into the late third, early fourth quarter.
And let me tell you, one came at a perfect time because the Dolphins, Tannehill threw a pick like inside the 10-yard line. Like they were going into score, the Dolphins were. And just as soon as the tackle was made, there was the lightning delay came. So as far as any momentum that the Titans might have had from that. Yeah, Mother Nature intervened.
Well, sometimes Mother Nature needs to help the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, but it was a big weekend down there because Mark Richt, really, he had his troops ready to go. They beat Savannah State 77-0, and then the Dolphins won, too, on opening day. By the way, the Canes a 10-point favorite at Toledo on Saturday.
Get you some Rockets.
That is a dangerous, dangerous game, but plenty more on that coming later on in the week, but we're talking about this past Saturday and Sunday in the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. And, Jeff, we will start off with the Dogs, 41-17 win. Good, bad, ugly, any bad and ugly that you find from it, or is it just all good for Georgia right now?
Well, the good was Georgia completely dominated all three phases of the ball game. The great, most points ever scored. So instead of good, bad, ugly, we'll say great, good, and still need to improve. How about that?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
41 points in Columbia, most ever, 24-point margin of victory, a match of the 1971 teams, one of the best teams in Georgia history, won over there 24-0 with the great Andy Johnson and Jimmy Poulos in the backfield. The defense producing a non-offensive touchdown. They got to give that. That was a sloppy play by DeAndre Baker, and it was not mentally sharp. But luckily, Juwan Taylor came in and was able to scoop it up. Who knows how that game could have turned had that not happened? But Baker did make a great play, and I would prognosticate and assume that Georgia won't be making any more mental mistakes like that. Looking ahead, I mean, guys, just run it all the way through the end zone there. As far as the need to get better, I think certainly looking ahead, Middle Tennessee is going to throw it a ton this week, then Missouri a week after that. Georgia would probably like to get to the quarterback a little bit more. I did think Bentley had some success. Georgia struggled some on third downs in the first half. But you're really nitpicking. You go over to Columbia and beat a South Carolina team that was number 24 in the country, 41-17. And I'll say this, too, for your Monday and Tuesday's reflections and prognostications, I don't want to hear any of those people, those national pundits who were picking South Carolina to beat Georgia to start downgrading Georgia's win by saying South Carolina's not that all good, because you can't have it both ways.
No, and I mean, I think when if you take into context what Georgia did last season and see them do it the first chance they really have to flex their muscles this season, I mean, I think you have to just sort of begin to err on the side that, hey, Georgia's really good no matter who it is that they're
playing. And, I mean, it is. I mean, I admit it's still taken some getting used to be honest with you. And, you know, there were things about that game that, as much as I liked Georgia, primarily my confidence this past Saturday had to do with the fact that there was so much doubting going on, and there was some talk coming out of South Carolina's camp, and it was just it was basically that I felt would fuel Georgia. But it wasn't so much that, well, Georgia also just happens to have the overwhelming talent in the game, which is the reality. That's why they ended up winning it. So, you know, we're going to flash forward to be sitting here next week, and, you know, Missouri's got a big game coming up this weekend against a Purdue team that just lost at home, though, to, was it Eastern Michigan?
It was a
bad
loss.
That beat them?
It was a bad loss for Purdue. I guess they were still hungover from that season-opening heartbreaking loss to Northwestern.
Yeah, but, you know, so, and it's a revenge game for Missouri because Purdue went and just smoked them last year in Columbia. But, I mean, Drew Locke is having, as was expected, a phenomenal season so far through 2 weeks. So we'll sit here next week and might be able to come up with some ways that, boy, this Missouri team could be dangerous. But, I mean, in the end, at some point, we're just going to have to get over that. And the reality is Missouri doesn't really have any ways that they can hurt Georgia.
Well, they can move the ball. They can move the ball through the air. But I think what you're seeing with Georgia now, even when you see some nastier defenses like LSU and Florida will have a good defense and Auburn, this Georgia offense should still be able to move the ball. Now, you're not going to go out there and score 40 every game, obviously, but there's no reason Georgia can't average a touchdown per quarter.
Do you say Florida was going to have a good defense?
They might. We'll see.
Kentucky went 9-for-13 on third and Grantham Saturday night.
I am kind of looking forward to that. And by the way, when Mullen was at Mississippi State and Kirby was running Bama's defense, and when Mullen was at Mississippi State and Kirby was running Georgia's program last year, Georgia and Kirby Smart have had pretty good success against Dan Mullen. Now, Mullen had a great Mississippi State team that really beat us up back in 2010, but it's a different era now.
Well, that was not a great Georgia team that year.
No, it was not. So. Low-lighted by a loss to Colorado.
But, yeah, last season, too. It was Mullen and Grantham, and the final was 31-3.
It's not a –
that was one play call it a day, as I remember, that flea flicker.
That's not quite like when Mullen and Charlie Strong were assistants for Urban Meyer there.
No, when we couldn't score at all on those guys.
No.
And at Florida's offense did quite well in many of those games. All right, moving on in the 5-5, another fascinating game on Saturday night. Clemson went to Texas A&M, and mighty Clemson did end up surviving and advancing in that game. And maybe that turned out to be one of those moments, because it's funny. I mean, I don't think anyone thought that Clemson was going to go there and had a chance to lose, and then that was all of a sudden they got lucky. I mean, that fumble out of the end zone, that ended up basically being the difference in that game. They'd have lost if that hadn't happened. So the question is Clemson a flawed team, or is Texas A&M already pretty good just 2 weeks into the Jimbo Fisher era?
I think A&M is better than everybody thought they were going to be. And for Clemson, I think it was just one of those situations. It happens in college football. These are like 20-year-old kids. When that momentum switched, boy, it really got rolling. And Texas A&M to boot, they made a couple of magic plays. I mean, I thought on two of the touchdowns, Clemson had them covered about as good as you possibly can. And
A&M, well, the one, even the kid from Clemson got up there and almost got his fingers on
it. Right.
And the A&M guy went up there and grabbed it.
So, you know, but it's just one of those examples. When that momentum gets going, when a stadium gets rocking, anything can happen. That Clemson defensive front, though, is nasty. I would think, too, Chris, maybe it was a situation. And let's remember, too, Clemson was up 14-3. They went for a fourth and goal inside the two and had a bad snap that went through the quarterback's legs. So who knows if it's different. I think they probably thought they had the game in hand, 28-13, and they got to where they were juggling Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence a little bit, and I think that might have gotten them out of rhythm offensively some.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like to – I mean, Kelly Bryant is the better player, and I would be curious to see moving forward if Clemson kind of abandons the whole two-quarterback thing and just sticks with Bryant, because, I mean, another thing that Bryant gives them too is, I mean, he had 54 yards rushing. He had a couple of big runs there that, you know, Lawrence isn't going to get for you. And even the one long touchdown pass that – that Lawrence threw, that was, I mean, Clemson, their guy pushed Texas A&M's defensive back down. And I don't know, somehow that wasn't called offensive pass interference. But, you know, Lawrence got himself a long touchdown pass out of it. The thing with Clemson, even going back to last year, though, is they do not have like a juggernaut explosive offense. And, yeah, a couple of those catches that Texas A&M had seemed a bit fluky, but they still had over 500 yards of offense against Clemson's defense. I mean, that's not all a fluke. Clemson had 13 first downs in that game. So if there are any holes that you can poke in Clemson's defense, you know, Clemson doesn't have an offense like it appears Bama has this year, like Georgia's got this year, that could just – you know, just score at will anywhere on the field that's going to rip off like long 10, 20-yard plays.
I think, to your point, if Georgia and Clemson were to meet in the playoffs, if the Bulldogs have another phenomenal season, if Clemson does too, I'm like you. And I think, too, with Georgia's depth. Now, Clemson's got excellent depth too. You know, it's a situation where I think Georgia could score enough on Clemson. I mean, the defense for Georgia would have a great game. But, I mean, if Georgia played Clemson, I'll take my chances
there.
Well,
like that Travis Etienne is like –
He's a good back,
but they average less than 4 yards a carry.
Yeah. I through two games, you know, there's always overreaction, underreaction. Georgia looks to be a more complete offensive team right now.
Than Clemson does,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, the Tigers do have that defensive line.
It's nasty.
And because A&M really wasn't running the ball either, but still, at the end of the day – 500 yards of offense, that's a boatload of yards against that defense.
And I'm just guessing that defensive line, as great and as talented as it is, and they've got a lot of highly recruited freshmen who were backups to all those seniors on that defensive front. I mean, at some point, if teams are having success throwing and you're pass rushing every play, you're going to get winded late in games.
Yeah. There were a couple of times, too, that Clemson was – they were like a step away from getting Mond, and Mond just did get the ball off. But
well, even on the last TD, the one guy had his jersey up by the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And Mond stepped up. It was a great game. I mean, Saturday night was a great – it was one of those days like Georgia got a great win. It was a really great game played by the Yellow Jackets. They just happened to come up short down in Tampa. And then Saturday night, I mean, to have that Clemson A&M game and Florida-Kentucky was a really good game. And you had a Arizona State Sparty to look forward to. It was a really great and enjoyable night. And I mean, Stanford-USC wasn't overly exciting, but that was still another big game. And
well, how did Pitt and Penn State end up on ABC on Saturday night?
I have no idea.
I mean, no one outside of the state of Pennsylvania could possibly have been watching that.
I have no idea. There were so many good games on Saturday.
And then James Franklin did something like they were up 51-3, and he like challenged a fumble or something late in that game.
Does he need to get returned to the jerk store?
I think he does. And he all like last year he called Pitt Akron or something.
Yeah, he said, like, what did he say? If Pitt beats us, it's like winning the national championship. When we beat them, it's like beating Akron.
Yeah, hey, I mean they beat them good, but yeah, there was some like he challenged us to a fumble or something, and it was. Yeah, they were winning 51-3.
Can we just run out the clock here? I'll tell you what, though, for Penn State, and you know, it's one of those deals. People, when you play App State, talk about how tough it's going to be and when it is tough. And App State really should have beat Penn State. When you get the win, you can't start knocking the team that beat them. But certainly Penn State got the daylight scared out of them by App State. So to respond and beat Pitt the way they did, it was a bounce back. Because, I mean – I get it. It's very early, but Michigan's loss to Notre Dame, Michigan State's loss to Arizona State, you know, what's gone on with Urban Meyer, Wisconsin, I get it. It's been New Mexico and who was it in the first game? Western Kentucky, maybe?
Yes.
They've done what Wisconsin does. They grind the teams out, but they were only up 10-7 at the half. They haven't looked dominant. By the way, it was a typical Iowa-Iowa State, right? 13-3.
Yep.
So for the Big Ten, again, it's only 2 weeks in. They haven't looked great through 2 weeks. Now, at the end of the year, that probably is not going to matter a whole lot. But, you know, I'm just saying, though, so for Penn State, that was a nice bounce back. But certainly for the Big Ten, that's a couple of big strikes, having Michigan lose at Notre Dame and Michigan State go down at Arizona State.
And now Pitt this week. Tech was in Tampa last Saturday. They'll be in Pittsburgh this Saturday. So back-to-back travel like for the Jackets.
That ACC, man, that could be like playing a Major League Baseball schedule.
Yeah.
How are we going to go to Tampa? Then we're going to Pittsburgh. Then we're going to Boston.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
That's what Tech's got going on. All right, best win and worst loss from this past Saturday.
Chris, I think the best win was Georgia, followed by Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Most gratifying win was Kentucky, for sure. Worst loss, depending on how you want to spin it. I mean, I'm kind of like you with Michigan State. That was a bad loss. Florida, that was a really bad loss. All of a sudden for Arizona, I know it's two games in. I mean, I put those guys, I think number 23, 24 in my BI preseason top 25. I don't think I was alone in that. I mean, because, you know, Sumlin, you know, he did all right at Texas A&M. And to have a quarterback like Khalil Tate, I mean, Sumlin did coach Johnny Manziel. I think we all thought, well, these guys will be able to move the ball. I mean, they're losing to Houston 31-0 at the half.
And Tate's not running the ball this year.
No.
There's some speculation that he's hurt.
Might be.
I mean, and I'd prefer to accept that theory than Sumlin is just completely ruining the guy, because he did have Manziel, and Manziel won a Heisman Trophy under his watch. But, I mean, Khalil Tate is just a completely different player right now.
And the guy last year, Tate, was the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, that is – and that's a record.
And they're doing that. I mean, they ran 100 plays and scored 18 points against Houston.
And it was 31-0 at the half. That game was over. Tied for the worst loss, too, Arkansas, to blow that game in the fourth quarter. I was so happy for Mike Bobo and for Colorado State, but – to blow a lead against the Colorado State team. Now, granted, Hawaii looks like they've got a pretty good team. Colorado's got a pretty good team. But Colorado State, the defense didn't look good. They had a rough couple of weeks. That was a bad loss for Arkansas. And again, it's bad. So what are you doing going and playing a Mountain West school on the road?
Hawaii's 3-0. They got a noon Eastern kickoff this Saturday, though, at Army.
Ew, that's going to be tough. By the way, did Hawaii wind up covering late Saturday?
They did not, yeah. I told you, just as soon as they won their first two games straight up as a double-digit underdog, so as soon as they're laying 17.5 points, it is time to get all over sizzling rice. And sizzle they did. They lost by 14.
Hey, they covered.
That plays in Vegas. Yes, it does.
Now, did anything funky happen in the UNLV game that we know of?
No, I mean, UTEP, they played UTEP, and UNLV beat them 52-24.
So nothing like the lights going out there.
No.
That's only when somebody like – oh, the crazy thing, like three different things happen, like when Wisconsin has gone out there.
Yeah, that
it's
would be
– always
if,
Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it's if UNLV isn't covering.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guarantee, you know, Wisconsin probably brought 40,000 fans out to Vegas, and they all are going to bet on Wisconsin. Oh, that's not 55 minutes. It's not official.
Right, because last week – I mean, the game was in L.A. last week, but they were covering the whole time against SC, so there was no reason to, you know, cut the power to Compton or anything at that point.
By the way, just watching the USC – Stanford game, like SC is going to wind up, you know, they're USC, they're always going to be in the mix. And I think the kid, what's the kid's name playing quarterback?
Oh, JT Daniel.
There you go, JT Daniel. I mean, he should be a senior in high school, kind of like Bentley was supposed to be. It's going to be a stiff learning curve, and I'm sure he'll wind up being a good player, but let's say playing major college football when you're supposed to be a senior in high, and especially being the quarterback at Southern California.
And then at Stanford, which, I mean, that's not like a hostile road atmosphere. And like this week they play at Texas, which also isn't a hostile road atmosphere, but you're still playing, like, Stanford's got, you know, that's a good program.
And it's just just think about what was on your plate when you were a freshman in college and what you might have been going through. But your senior year in high school, which is what he should be, oh my gosh.
Yeah, now he's at Stanford, but yeah, they scored 3 points, and they do have Texas this weekend. So, we'll have to see what Tejas and USC have for an encore. Last year, that was a good game.
That was a great game.
Overtime loss for the Longhorns.
Was that the night of maybe our Mississippi State game, or it was early in the season?
It was early in the year, too.
Yeah. Might have been Samford, might have been Mississippi State.
We had beaten someone, Jeff, and then USC.
It all kind of runs together.
You know, Jeff, I usually always pick Georgia to win, and I'm almost always right.
Oh, man. By Soundproof Studio.
Yeah, we're getting close to that, though. Yeah, pretty much always pick the Dogs to win, and I'm pretty much always right.
Just hoping in 10, 12 years we're still saying that and counting those national title trophies.
Can I do a quick defense, though, of Tory Gurley?
Yeah, he came out and manned up on Twitter.
Well, but before that, I would just like to point out, the guy played at South Carolina and was picking them to beat Georgia. Our guys don't pick us to win. Aaron Murray picked Mississippi State to win last year. So, I mean, if anything, Georgia fans should be applauding Tory Gurley. Hey, at least South Carolina's got a guy that'll pick his team to win. Our guys pick against us.
I will, not to mention number 47 in the 2012 game.
Yeah. But people were giving that guy the business. Like,
He
went to South Carolina. He's picking the Gamecocks to win. That number, you know, ended up getting down to like 7.5.
Wow. But I will give him credit, though, on Twitter. He did post something like, man, you Bulldogs are making it tough for my prediction to come through.
Yeah, so, well, like, and fine. I saw he changed his avatar to the Power G.
Yeah, I mean, good for him.
But, I mean, for whatever reason, it's, you know, he was getting a bunch of grief for, like, he was talking smack or something. I'm like, good for him. He went to South Carolina. He's picking his former team to get a win. I mean, good grief. We were at home last year against Mississippi State. We were playing at home against Mississippi State, and Aaron Murray said we were going to lose.
We won 31-3, by the
way. Yeah, and that was us playing Mississippi State at home. Mississippi State.
Do you know who their defensive coordinator was?
Todd Grantham.
He's at Florida now, Chris. Did you know that?
And Aaron Murray said we were going to lose that game. Our guys say we're going to lose. South Carolina's former players at least think they can win. So, listen. I applaud Tory Gurley. I wouldn't mock that guy. I wish we had former players like that. That would actually predict us to beat Mississippi State at home. That's what we need.
I still wish one of our former players would have done what you said and bonked a much shorter legendary head coach over the head with her microphone.
Yeah. Next time Maria Taylor gets that chance.
Just do a little like the whack-a-mole at the carnival.
Yeah.
Bonk.
Next time next time she sees him. Come on, Maria. Maria, Jeff and I will pool our money. We'll give you $100 if you do that.
50 each.
50 each. No, 80 you, 20 me. Finally, Jeff, wrapping up the 5-5, we'll throw a quick look at the NFL Week 1. Is there a bandwagon that you would immediately abandon after just one game?
And Buffalo.
Then is there a bandwagon you would jump on after one game?
Yeah, I was borderline about to jump on the Bears bandwagon. That just wound up being a horrible loss for them. They looked so good for 80% of that game.
I'm staying on there. You know, I was on the Bears bandwagon. I'm not going to jump off yet.
You started the bandwagon. You really did. Let's see. A jump on? Maybe do I jump back on Kansas City a little bit? I'll need a couple more games from Mahomes.
I was already on it. Welcome aboard.
There you go.
I'll slide over.
I'm going to have to wait on the Ravens to see if Buffalo just that bad. We'll see. Is it my imagination, or did a team I also didn't like this year? Did Washington have a pretty good day yesterday?
Yes, they did. They blew out the Cardinals.
Maybe.
By the way, the Cardinals could be – they're not going to be on the clock because of the Bills. The Cardinals could pick second.
Yeah, they could be looking at 4 or 5 wins. A team that might have a hard time going 500 is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. They blew that game yesterday.
They did. They did. So bandwagon off, yeah, off the Bills. But in all seriousness, for teams that looked like they were going to be playoff contenders.
What about the Falcons?
No, I don't think so. But
Canoe Neal's hurt for the year?
Is he out for the season?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they did have some – because at one point, obviously, he was out. Deion Jones had gotten hurt. I mean, they had three starters down on defense.
You know what? Who's the biggest worry about Atlanta's defense? Frontline talent,
depth,
but –
no doubt. The depth. And I just – they got like these red zone situations, Sarkisian. It's gotten to a point now where there's some loud noise. That was a horrible. Had that just been a regular Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, this got national noise. Like, what are they doing?
It is, and it's. I mean, the Falcons' offense is good until you get to the red zone. So, like, Sarkisian as a play caller, is fine until he gets to the red zone. So now there's maybe that backward hat is on too tight. I don't know, but yeah, that red zone business is that's bad news.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Are you jumping off your Cowboys bandwagon?
Was I on that?
Yeah. Let me get off the Saints bandwagon, too. I was a year early on Tampa, Chris.
I went back and looked at some results. Tampa does have – they always play well for some reason in the Superdome. However, 48 points. I think Tampa had a pick six. But
They did.
Okay. Yeah. The Bucs scored on every one of their first half possessions. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw four touchdown passes. I would get off the Saints bandwagon
right
now.
That's one of those. And by the way, how about this too for New Orleans? And we all know the city, the festivities. Talk about being hungover to start. They've gone 0-2 four straight years to start the season, and now they're 0-1 now.
They're going to win Sunday. They host the Browns.
They should.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they should at least be 1-1.
Must win tonight for Detroit, by the way. Any hope of making the playoffs? I'll tell you another bandwagon you might want to jump on, Minnesota.
They're facing the Lions are facing is he the youngest rookie quarterback ever?
Darnold. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a game that
it's a must win.
You have
to
win.
Make the play.
If not, I mean, that's a bad look for Stafford.
That Minnesota bandwagon's looking pretty good too.
Oh yeah, I was on it, I think I stayed on it. Yep. I'm already there. All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.